I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I begin reading in verse number 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus' ministry and how busy he was, and yet he had time for an individual. Lord, we pray we'd take note of that. Lord, bless this message. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you would draw that individual to a saving knowledge of Christ. Work upon all of us that we might realize there's lost people around us at all times. And use this message to encourage us to spread abroad that which has taken place in our own life because Jesus touched us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The passage finds Jesus Christ in the midst of a very tiring and trying preaching campaign. If you read the entire chapter, you'll find that Jesus taught in the synagogue in verses 21 and 22, cast out demons in verses 23 to 28, went by Peter's place and healed his mother-in-law, verses 29 to 31. He healed the sick folks and delivered others from demonic possession. You would think that Jesus was entitled to a time of vacation or something, and yet he still had time for the individual. And verse 35, we find Jesus in a place of prayer. His disciples find him, and as soon as they find him, he tells them it's time to go to the neighboring cities and preach. For that particular ministry was the reason he came to the world. That's verses 36 to 39. Now in verse 40, a leper comes to him. It is a personal encounter that I want to focus on. While there were great crowds to be healed, one man has his moment with the Master. I want you to see three things this morning. First of all, I want you to see the condition of the leper. Now, this first part of this message is not a pretty part. Okay? I want to talk about the disease. We're told that this man who approached the Lord was a leper. Of all the diseases in the Old Testament, New Testament time, nothing was more scary than leprosy. And I don't want to freak you out, but leprosy usually started with a person feeling a little tired. Are any of you feeling tired? It was just a feeling of fatigue. And then the joints would get sore. Am I ringing a bell? And then all of a sudden there would be little white spots that would appear on the skin. And if you have those white spots, I don't want to be close to you at all. Those little white spots would begin to harden, and those little nodules would turn from white to pink to brown and became very scaly. It usually started on the face. And The very configuration of these little spots would, once they appeared, would change, and that would cause wrinkles in the skin and the nodules covering the face. They said when a person was in full-blown leprosy, his face looked like that of a lion. Then comes the gross part. They begin to ulcerate. They were filled with pus, and they would begin to run on the body. They had a horrible stench. And if you didn't see the person, you'd know that there was a leper around because he had the smell of death on him. Because actually his body was dying from inside out. There was a horrible taste in his mouth. The nodules would lodge in the vocal cords, making him raspy speaking, causing him to wheeze when he breathed. And leprosy would totally consume the man until he became a pool of slime. As he would walk through the areas, the bottom of his feet would be raw, and they would be, the weight of the body would push the liquid from the bottom of the feet, and he'd leave wet spots because his body was beginning to rot. Fingers would fall off. Toes would fall off. One thing about leprosy, they'd lose all sense of pain. Could put his hand in the fire and he wouldn't know it. He could stumble on a road, step on a rock and he wouldn't know it. Have a thorn thrust in his side, he wouldn't know it. Man became walking death. And it usually lasted 9 years. Can you imagine living that way for 9 years? And finally, he would collapse into a pile of corruption. And then there was the social isolation that it caused. Banished from the village, banished from his family. He had to leave his friends. It was unlawful for a leper to get within 50 feet of a clean person. And if the wind was blowing, it had to be 200 feet. He couldn't touch his family members. The family members couldn't touch him. Sometimes they would bring him food and clean clothes, and that would end after a while, and they would just have a mock funeral and declare him dead. He actually had to tear his garments. You know, when you read that custom of people mourning at a funeral, they would rend their garments. Well, he had to do this. He rend his garments so that when people would see him, they would know he was going to a funeral, and the funeral he was going to was his own. He had to have a cloth over his upper lip. And every time he saw people coming, the leper was required to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And it would warn the people, and they would pick up stones to make sure he would not get close to them. So here's the condition of the man. You say, "Preacher, this is Sunday morning. Why did I have to listen to that?" The only thing I can say is because leprosy is a type of sin. Now, I don't think there's any lepers here. But everybody here has a problem with sin. Leviticus 13 and 14, it shows how to deal with leprosy, how to identify it, how the priest would declare it, and then what they had to do with that person and so forth. But let me give you five characteristics why leprosy is a picture of sin, all right? Number one, Leviticus chapter 13 verse 3 says that the priest looked upon the plague of the skin and the flesh. You see, he's going to show that leprosy goes deeper than just the externals. It goes deeper than just the skin. In fact, he says that. And when the hair of the plague is turned white, the plague is in the sight, to be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look upon him and pronounce him unclean. And so it is with sin. The outward manifestations of sin is merely a window to the heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart comes the sin that people see. Leprosy was deeper than skin, and so is sin. It's deeper than we can see. And you know what, folks? I don't really think that most of us understand the depravity of our sin nature. You look around. Why do people do what they do? Why do they want to get involved in those kind of things? When I was a little kid, my grandfather had a watch. He worked for the railroad, and he had a little pocket watch, and he would wear it. He had a stroke, and that put him out of work, and he was in a wheelchair, and he would have this little chain hooked to a button, and it would go over to a little pocket watch, and we always wanted to see the pocket watch. And after a while, the pocket watch broke, and he didn't need winding. They didn't have batteries back then, and we'd always, as little bitty kids, we'd want to see the pocket watch. And so we'd go up to him, and he'd bring out the pocket watch, and we finally understood it was broke. And I said, "Well, why don't you wind it?" He says, "Doesn't need winding." He says it needs a watchmaker. It needs to do radical work inside the watch. And folks, people need a radical heart surgery, if you would. Spiritually speaking, leprosy is deeper than skin, so is sin. Secondly, leprosy starts out small and it spreads. Have you ever noticed that? In chapter 13, verse 7 of Leviticus, it says, "But if the scab spread abroad on the skin after that he'd been to the priest for cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again." So just as the leper may have seen the tiny white spots on his skin one day, it wasn't many days after, he had white spots all over him. It spreads. Oh, the picture of sin. Take a look at David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. A little spot of laziness turned into adultery and unwanted pregnancy and lies and then murder. Take a look at Lot coming out of Sodom, and he takes some wine and it led to incest. Sin spreads. Let down the walls here a little bit and over here a little bit and allow sin in your life there. And before long, your whole life is shot. I think of Larry Mars, young person in my youth group up in Illinois. I've told you about him before. Kid out of a orphan's home. Got saved. Faithful as can be, memorized scripture, brought his friends, led people to the Lord, and then he got away from God. I said, "Larry, I've been missing you." "Oh yeah, I know, but I can handle it." And then it was missing some more. "Yeah, Larry, I've been missing you." Went to see him over at Victory Hall, the boys' home there. He said, "Well, I can handle it. I'll be back." Larry got in with some pretty rough guys. Police called me, asked me to come down. He had a police officer in our church, and he asked me to come down to the hospital. I went down to the hospital, and there was Larry. The boys he hung with hung him. And when I walked into that room, they pulled the sheet back. His face looked like a grape. Sin starts out small. It spreads. Thirdly, leprosy defiles everything it touches. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44 and 46, it says that the leprous man is unclean. The priest should pronounce him utterly unclean. The word utterly, totally, through and through, every part of him. In verse 46, it says, in the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled through and through. So it is with sin. Do you ever notice how sin pollutes not just you, but it pollutes your family? You can come home from work and have had a great day, but if someone in the house has a rotten attitude, before long that rotten attitude gets in you. You ever notice that? Little things that spread and defiles. You ever notice? It even says so about like the sin of bitterness. How the root of bitterness springs up and troubles many. Not just you, but many. Oh, if we could go back and we could ask Achan, was a little gold and a little silver worth the life of the lives of his family? Ask Korah, Dathan, and Abiram if that little sin of criticizing God's man was worth having the earth open up through God's power and swallowing up not just the three guys, but their family, their wives, their animals, all of their possessions. God just opened the earth and slammed it shut, buried them alive. Ask David a few stolen moments with another man's wife. Was it worth the devastation and the calamities that came into his kingdom and his family? It defiles everything it touches. Number four, leprosy isolates. Verse 46 of chapter 13 of Leviticus says, he shall dwell alone. Outside the camp shall be his habitation. He was isolated. Sin isolates, folks. It drives a wedge between family members. Drives a wedge between parents and children. It drives a wedge between you and your God. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, Isaiah 59, verse 2. And lastly, leprosy destines things for the fire. Leviticus 13, 52. And I'm going to have to... This is written in King James Old English. Listen to it. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp, that's the word for woven, or woof, that's the word for knitted, in woolen or linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting. And that word fretting is a Hebrew word which means spread to the cloth. Here's what happens. You get leprosy, your skin starts to rot, you wrap it up, you cover it up, and when you change the garment, you have a bunch of crud on the garment. It has to go to the fire. It's defiled. You didn't want it around. Everything the leper touched was to be burned. So it is with sin. It destines those afflicted with it to the fires of eternal torment. Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Can you see why leprosy in the physical variety was such a big deal? It's so easily to see this cruel and terrible disease pictures the horrors of sin and its consequences. The confrontation with the leper, his disease. But notice his desire. So here's this man back in Mark 1. His life's been devastated by the scourge of leprosy. One day he heard Jesus was there. He had evidently heard that Jesus was healing people. So he hobbles over to Jesus. And he begins to beseech him. Can you see the multitude? This leper comes up behind him. Jesus is there. This crowd's around him. And this leper comes behind him, wearing his tattered clothes, smelling up the place. And all of a sudden, the people realize, there's a leper near us. There is some... You know what I thought about when I started reading this? I thought about how we, as so sophisticated, independent Baptists, treat lost people when they come to church. And how we keep our distance. Can you hear the commotion? Can you see the crowd begin to depart with the cries of fear and disgust that this man was in the midst? And he made his way to Jesus. And he kneels before the Lord and begins beseeching him and declaring his faith. If thou wilt, Jesus, you can make me whole. He believed that Jesus could heal him. You know, for a person to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you got to believe He's God. You got to believe that He loves you. You got to believe that He died for you. You got to believe that He's willing to save you. All that come unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. The power of God's amazing grace. I remember Brother Crowder was telling me one time in his church in Brazil, there came a man, and he came into that church, and he was foul-smelling. And one of his members went over and sat next to him. I remember Brother Crowder telling me, I don't know how he did it. The man was horrendously unclean. The power of God's amazing grace. This man came to Jesus. He knew he was unworthy. This man came to Jesus as a last straw. Luke chapter 5, verse number 12 says he was full of leprosy, meaning he was probably in his eighth or ninth year. This was his last chance. This was his last hope. He was nearly gone and needed divine intervention, so he came to Jesus. He needed a miracle. You may sit here and look as nice as anyone else, but we can't see the heart. Like the old watch that needed the watchmaker to fix it. Do you need to come to Jesus? Then I want you to see the compassion of the Lord. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41 and 42, Jesus was moved with compassion. That phrase, moved with compassion, is found four times in the New Testament, twice about Jesus. In Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And here, when he saw the leper, he was moved with compassion. And as the crowd watches, the leper falls down before the Lord for a miracle. What will he do? Will he turn away in disgust? Will he just shove him out of the way and say, be gone with you or whatever? No, he does the unthinkable. He shows the man compassion. His compassion is seen, revealed in his touch. It's been years since anyone touched this man. It's been years since this man held his wife and children. It's been years since he felt the touch of a human hand on his. It's been years since he's been able to kiss his wife and his kids. He's been isolated and alone. Touch of a leper meant... And let me just say it this way. The touch of a leper was against the law. But what did Jesus do? He reached out and he touched him. That should have shocked the crowd. shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Can you hear the crowd gasp in surprise and shock that Jesus reached out and touched this unclean man? Oh, I think about the man. What a glorious thing must have happened to him that day. And I realize that he didn't have the sense of feeling. But I believe the hand of deity got through that problem of not feeling. Do you remember when you trusted Christ as Savior? Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. By the way, February 18th, I've been saved 50 years. And 50 years ago, I sat on the corner of my bed and asked Christ to be my Savior. And the load that was gone, the joy that flooded my soul, interesting, isn't it, how this leper did not transfer his leprosy to Jesus? But Jesus transmitted to the leper the cleansing of deity. You know, Jesus is still touching lives today. He can touch yours. Have you experienced his touch? His compassion is seen in him reaching out and touching the leper. His compassion is revealed in the transformation of the leper. As soon as he was made clean, the leprosy instantly departs and his skin was made as new as a little baby. Literally, he was given a new life. By the way, that little word depart is an interesting word. The leprosy departed. It means to pack up and move out. And when Jesus touched you, the sin that was bogging you down and binding you packed up and moved out. You know what, folks? If we would really realize all that's in salvation, we would have no problem at all in being a witness and praising God to the world. And that's what this guy did. When he was healed, he went out and published it. He was no longer lost, but he was found, no longer dead, but alive, no longer an outcast, but made a child of God. The blackness and deadness of sin was replaced by life and the glory of God. Compassion of the Lord. Condition of the leper. And then lastly, very quickly, the command of the law. In verse 43 and 44, he straightway charged him and sent him forth. And he said, "See that you tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest." This is the law. You had to do this under the Mosaic law. You had to go to the priest, and you had to show yourself to the priest, and the priest had to go through a ceremony and declare you clean. This is found in Leviticus 14. And so the leper would go close, to, he was still outside the camp, but he would call the priest out. And the priest would come outside the camp, and there's an important picture there. And the priest had to help the leper understand the place outside the camp and the price, the blood, for his cleansing. He couldn't go inside the camp yet. He wasn't declared clean. By the way, perfect picture, we call on Jesus. Jesus, we can't just go to heaven. We call on him. It says in Hebrews 13, Jesus died outside the camp. He died outside the gate. And then in Leviticus 14, the priest would take two birds and he would kill one bird, take the blood of that bird, drain that blood, add water to it, and then he would sprinkle the wings of the other bird and take that out and let it go. And as the blood dropped off the wings of that bird, the leper would understand it costs blood to be cleansed. Where in the world? I mean, I sat in church for 18 years and heard, all you got to do is be better than the next guy and you'll go to heaven. Where did that come from? Where in the world did it come from that you can earn your way to heaven? What a beautiful picture in Leviticus 13 and 14. Years and years and years and centuries before Jesus came. You say, preacher, I just can't believe it's that simple. Faith in Jesus Christ who died on a cross, who shed his blood. That's it. My sins are too deep, but the Lord says my blood goes deeper. We say, Lord, I've gone too far. My blood goes farther. My sins are strong. And he says, my blood's stronger. Remember the 24 elders in Revelation? They sang a new song, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. 1 Peter tells us this, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your father, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You sit here, and if you've never come to the grips with the idea that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth, died on that cross, shed his blood for your sin, you're no Christian. You've been duped. Turn to him and receive him by faith. Believe. And have your sins washed away. Now notice, those are the demands of the law, but notice the desire of the Lord. In verse 44, he says, for a testimony unto them. What does all that mean? I would say that probably the high priest had never seen a leper cleansed. But now there was someone in town that could do it. Jesus Christ. And he says, do it for a testimony. That was the whole purpose of going to the priest. A testimony. To be declared clean. Let me ask you a question, friend. What kind of a testimony do you have? People look at you. People look at your lifestyle. People listen to your words. People look at how you treat your family, how you treat other people. Do they see a testimony? Do they see Jesus Christ? What a testimony it was that Jesus can change a life. He reached out and touched him, and the leprosy packed up and departed. The man was declared clean. Jesus liberates the soul from the bondage of sin and sets the sinner free. He went out, began to publish it much. It says to blaze abroad this matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly go to the city. The man was such a testimony to those around him and proclaimed what happened to him, so much so that Jesus couldn't go back into the city. He would have been hoarded. He would have been just constantly overwhelmed with people's needs. And so he went to the desert, and the people had to come out to him. He published the matter. Can I ask you something, Christian? How much do we publish the matter that we're really a child of God? Last part of that song that I was quoting. He touched me. The second verse, since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Whatever your need is today, friend, come to him. He'll take care of it. Come by faith. Have your transforming moment with the Master. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Use it, O God, in our hearts and in our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder today, how many here can say, "Preacher, if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. The Lord touched my life. He cleansed me of my sin." And I know that, no question about it. Can you honestly say that? If you can, would you slip your hand up right now all the way across the auditorium? Just slip it up. Thank you, may put it down. Perhaps you could not say that. And right now you'll say, "Preacher, I need a touch from the Lord. I really need that touch. I need my sins forgiven. And I need the knowledge of that. And I'd like you to pray for me." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you slip your hand up real quick, I'm the only one looking. Just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Yes, I see that. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'm looking. I'm looking up my right side. I'm looking in the middle. Anyone else? Anyone else? "Preacher, I need Christ. I want Him today." I'll pray for you in just a moment. Christian, as you sit there, what kind of a testimony are we? When was the last time that you talked to somebody about Jesus Christ and brought them to a place where they could say yes or no to Christ? Say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Boy, I want to be a witness. I want to tell people what happened to me." Say, "God spoke to my heart. Pray for me." Would you slip your hand up right now? Let me pray for you. Across this auditorium. Yes, I see that. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Yes, I see it over here. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Yes, I see it back in the back. Somebody else? Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Organists and pianists are going to play through. "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way." Your life. Christian, what kind of a testimony are you? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ? You may be a church member. You may have hidden the fact that you're lost, and you know you're lost. Too proud to admit it, I encourage you to come. Have someone take you out of the auditorium, show you how to trust Jesus as your Savior. Christians, you need to come and pray. I'm going to pray, they're going to play. Heavenly Father, first, Lord, I pray for this one lifted her hand. And said, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me." Lord, she's lifting her hand not to me, but to you. Because she wants Christ to be your Savior. Give her courage to come. Help her, oh God, put faith in you. May she leave here today with that knowledge. And then, Lord, I pray for Christians. Dear Lord, help us all to publish what you've done for our lives. The cleansing power of Almighty God. Have your way in this invitation. Speak to every heart here. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart. We invite you to come.